from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
December the 25th, 1999. First service for the Teaching and Deliverance Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Paul says in Ephesians that you and I have been accepted in the Beloved. Ain't something I got to strive to get to. Scripture says I'm there. Well, we'll sing this song to you. This is, the Lord gave me this. We was teaching from here and listen to the words and it bless your heart. Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. I am sitting with Him in heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell with the Master. I can tell there's a place in the throne for us to dwell. Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. I am sitting with Him in heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell with the Master. I can tell there's a place in the throne for us to dwell. There was a message sent from God to a virgin, it would go. It would change all of our lives, even forever. For the seed she would conceive, He would be the Son of God. For He came to raise us up from the fall. Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. I am sitting with Him in heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell with the Master. I can tell there's a place in the throne for us to dwell. Now we're not from beneath, and lies we're not to eat. Even if they're preached or sung, it doesn't matter. For the truth has set us free, and in Him we will agree. For the Word of God is settled inside of me.
Praise the Lord.
Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. I am sitting with Him in heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell with the Master. I can tell there's a place in the throne for us to dwell. There was a door in heaven, and a voice that spake to me,
And he said unto me, come up hither. And he said that where I am, there ye shall be too. And I'm in this place to stay forevermore. How about that? Amen? Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. I am sitting with him in heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell. With the Master I can tell. There's a place in the throne for us to dwell. Sing it with me if you know it now. Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. What of you? I am sitting with him. Not gone, I am. Heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell. With the Master I can tell. There's a place in the throne for us to dwell. Now I'm looking from above. Yes, I'm looking from above. What of you? I am sitting within. Heavenly places. In the throne I now dwell. With the Master I can tell. There's a place in the throne for us to dwell. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm so grateful when the Lord be. The Lord began to deal with our heart. And I thought, Lord, I told our people at home, at church, and across the country, I said, you know, we sit through sermons and messages where sometimes you almost wish you wasn't there. And you kind of squirm and you feel uneasy and you hear so much tradition and philosophy and the rudiments of this world and so forth in the side of Christianity, which really so much of it seems to be religion, where Jesus says that you've made the Word of God of none effect by their traditions. And so in the second verse I wrote, put in there, I said, even if they're preached or sung, I thought, it's like the tolerance that we, sometimes we have to listen to 45 minutes of something that's just really not accurate, and then there's about 15 minutes that we can rejoice in. And it's kind of like songs, so many that there's about 3 verses that's just not scriptural at all, and then there's 1 verse that, you know, that is. And I've always been one of opinion to wonder, well, you know, why do we have to eat trash when he's brought us to the banqueting table? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe if a song's got 4 verses in it, I believe all 4 of them could be very scriptural.
Right. Amen.
And I believe if any man, woman, boy, or girl would to speak, the Scripture says, let them speak as the oracle of God. And I believe everything that we could say could glorify Him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So if we understand that, as my brother was saying earlier, the word he was looking for, an epidemic of depression. There's a lot of epidemics, and I certainly wholeheartedly understand and agree that there's such a... I tell you, if people could see in the Song of Solomon there where we read, he says, come with me, my spouse, from Lebanon.
Yes.
And that's big. That's too big for me to touch tonight or for a while. But Solomon built a house. In fact, all the houses he built, the timber that he used, it came from Lebanon. And then he built a house in Lebanon. And I know that Jesus was showing the church that you're above. It ain't one day in the future. He says, come with me, my spouse, from Lebanon. And then he in that process, he keeps you on the mountain. Now, see, here's one of those songs. Now, Lord, you know I can't live on a mountain. So you picked out a valley for me. Wouldn't it be a lot easier for God to get us out of the valley and pick out a mountain for us? You know, what's the problem? Why do we have to be down and behind, neglected, deprived, depressed? Why is it that people believe there's glory in that? That God don't need that tool to work on us to keep us humble. He don't have to keep the church humble. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Jesus didn't marry a bride and keep her in a valley all the time to keep her humble. She's a virtuous woman. And the heart of her husband, who is Jesus, can safely trust in her. I mean, I love my wife, but I don't have to. She don't have to ride on top of the luggage rack under the spare tire rack. You know, it ain't my job to keep her humble. She's my wife. I love her. Amen. I don't have to treat her some bad way to keep her humble.
Right.
We just know to be humble.
Amen.
God don't pick out valleys, you know. Hallelujah. And I love my wife. She rides where I ride. She eats what I eat. She lives where I live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We believe the lie.
Yep, that's right.
We're looking from above.
Hallelujah.
Come with me, my spouse. Well, who's that? And the Hebrew says that is a bride in her perfection.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Look here. Jesus didn't do no dating. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the difference between dating and courtship for marriage is that dating covers up and hides. Dating neglects. Dating says look the other way. But for a live partner, there's exposure.
Oh, hallelujah.
And the exposure so real that both sides of the family, when they come and they're not sitting in, they're not, one group's not sitting over here, one group's sitting over here because they can't get along. They're sitting, both families are here because both families have consented and agreed. There's harmony and unity.
Amen.
That's supposed to be the representation of it.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's more to that than I can get into tonight. These days I'm being here for 8 months. The Lord has just graciously and lovingly have been revealing Himself to my heart. And there is, I believe, an epidemic, probably of the fullness of its exposure today as ever before, that we're in. And any time that we're in an epidemic, as our brother was saying about depression, there are some weighty things that we're missing. I just came out of a flu. I don't know if we was having an epidemic of that at home or not, but I hadn't been sick in 3 years and just about got to the place where I was just rejoicing in the Lord I wouldn't and couldn't be. And for about 7 days, I mean, I was down. And I realized in December that it was time for me to come up here because in August I said I would. And I was sharing with another night at church about coming and realized, boy, it's time for me to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. The time's upon me. And I realized I lost a whole week in December. Any time we're like that, you know, as my brother was saying, depression,
I was sick, and I went through a whole week of that contrary, aggravating mess. And I lost a whole week. And going through that, I lost some things. I could have been doing some things. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like studying. I didn't feel like, all I felt like was just balled up in a knot in that bed, wishing that stuff would just get off me. And I miss some things, is what I'm saying. And it's the same way when people's depressed, they're missing things. See, anytime we're down, or anytime we're going through something, anytime we're facing something like this, we're subject to be missing some things in our life. And when people live that way week in and week out, month in and month out, and give their life to years of that, they're really missing out on some things. And I tell you, I didn't like that thing, and I had one of the elders of the church came over, and they'd been praying for me, and he came by about the end of the week, and man, I tell you, I was really, this is like 7 days, and I'm feeling as bad now or worse than when this thing got me. And he said, well, let's pray. And I said, go ahead. Because I'm sitting there, there ain't a prayer in me. He said, I know Jesus loves me and I know I love him, but that's it. I'm just praying. And he prayed. And he had to go check on another family in the church. And in an hour, he came back by my house and I was out and gone. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy, he came back by to check on me, and I was uptown at the bank. And I was uptown, taking care of some things. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I didn't feel a thing in the world to pray. I said, well, just go ahead. I mean, just do it.
Uh-huh.
And he did. And he hadn't hardly got out the yard until I put my hat on, put my shoes on. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to town.
Hallelujah.
Well, what I'm saying is I'd missed out on enough that week. I don't want to miss out. And there is a knowledge of God that has been neglected because there's an epidemic of knowledge of good and evil. And humanity tonight is not aware of the motivation of what they call life. And I have to be careful. And we have to be careful that we entertain the Lord. I read to us here from the book of Habakkuk. Let me read this scripture to us. I'm in between two Bibles. I'm breaking in a new one and it's hard to get away from the old one. Because everything you've studied, you've got marked and jotted down, and yeah, you got all kind of things that. But anyway, this is a very familiar scripture to all of us. But this, I'm just saying, this is where I've been for 8 months. This is where the Lord's had me for 8 months, and there's just tons of things that in 8 months that the Lord's just given me. In this setting that is would be extremely difficult to teach in a session or two, so I want the Lord to lead me tonight.
Yes.
You understand? Because I just want to be a mouthpiece for this service, knowing that all can't be said, and because God hadn't called me to say it all no how. If he had, I'm afraid I've failed, and then you'd be in trouble.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But there is a very familiar scripture, and it's found in Habakkuk 2:14. It's also found in the book of Zechariah. But it reads like this, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." And there is an extreme difference. And this is what God said. God said that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. He gave us a understanding. He says it will be identical as the waters cover the sea. Now that's a lot. That's a lot. Again, the perversion of what we see in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, we're if you'll just permit me just to feel my way through this evening and the inspiration of the Lord,
I want to show us something I think the Lord would have us to see tonight that will help us in our life. I tell you, when we're looking from above, it's a lot easier. You see more when you're looking from the top. You know, we're in this building tonight, but if we was on top of this building tomorrow with the sun out, you know, we could see around. We could see more. We could see more of. We can see more of what's out there than just being in here. What I'm saying is, and it just depends on where we are. Amen. Is to what we see. And the Scripture says here that in the Song of Solomon, he says, "Come with me, my spouse." He was showing her some things. He was showing her from the lion's den, from the mountain of the leopards. He was showing her from Mount Hermon. My Lord, have mercy. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful place? Amen. And he was showing her, and she was in this place of elevation. Well, how many know he's the head of the church?
Yes.
And how many know the Scripture says that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? How many know the Scripture says that we're sitting with him in heavenly places? Amen. Where he is, so are we.
Yes.
You see, that's what he said. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And where he went to the cross.
Yes.
And the place that he prepared was a new covenant. God having provided some better things for us.
Yes.
And he was showing her in the Song of Solomon, "Come here, I want to show you what those things are." She was in a place so she could see.
Uh-huh. Right.
Amen. God is a good provider. And I'll go a step further. You know, God prepared for the worst. When he made Adam, he made him in his likeness and his image. You see, this isn't an issue of heaven and hell. This is an issue of the presence of God being in it or not. You see, when God created Adam, male and female created he them, and they were to have dominion in the earth. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. It wasn't an issue of heaven or hell.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And in the garden, that was the tree of life. And God didn't prepare himself for the tree of life because there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now God said to Adam, he says, "Of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest eat freely of." But he set a ruling. He didn't set a ruling for the tree of life. He prepared himself for the worst. He says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil," here's where he prepares it, "thou shalt not eat of it. For if thou eat of it, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely..." Well, bless the Lord. So God's got a man, took a rib out of him, made a woman, and the woman became a helpmeet to the man. Well, as far as I'm concerned, she's a lot stronger than he is. Because if she was made to help him, he needed help. Well, I know. And now the women's rejoicing. The ladies have got a smile. Guys are sitting around with a tar and feather him at the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, for her to be the helpmate, you studied the book of Proverbs on the virtuous woman. You can certainly see there, if you study the context, you'll find out one thing real quick. She was a trooper.
Yes.
Ain't nothing lazy about that woman.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you something. The Scripture says, hallelujah. Paul says in the book of Timothy that the woman would be saved. And she'd be saved in childbearing because she was not deceived. She was in the transgression. Let me read it. I'll go back to Isaiah in a second. I'm not rambling. I'm after something. Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, correct myself, verse 14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, charity, holiness, and sobriety. I'm getting some things out here, and I'll try to bring some things together. But you see, the serpent in the garden was listed with the beast. He wasn't God and he wasn't man. The serpent being more subtile than any beast of the field, than any beast of the field. So guess he approaches the woman. Now, it doesn't matter to me if you believe Satan will take, if you believe Satan will attack the weakest or the strongest. I won't argue with you. But for her to be his helpmate, and to have an understanding about the woman in the Scriptures, she's a person of dynamics. Now, I know some of you probably thinking about the Scripture there in Peter where he says, give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. But that word weaker there is translated physical strength. She ought not have to tote physically what a man... But I'm telling you something. You can search into the Scriptures and you find out that there are several men in the Scriptures that absolutely was no account and wasn't worth their salt. It hadn't been for women in their life. Wives. Well, you'd think I've come tonight to preach a defensive message for women. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The church, hear this. The church is the strongest thing Jesus has got.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he is the head, and we are the body, and we don't have a strong head and a frail, weak body.
Yes,
amen.
Well, just let's get it right. Amen. I got a strong woman, man. Let me tell you something. There's many areas in her life she's stronger than me. Man, I don't know about all women, but I tell you what, I know a lot of women's got real discernment.
That's right.
I mean, that bears right by man or me. You know, I'm out here just going on, all of a sudden my wife, she's pulling on my coat tail. What is it? But you know, we men won't ignore that. Oh, hallelujah. But Adam said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. What do you think we are to Jesus? How? What do you think we are to the Lord? We're the strongest thing He's got in the earth.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're not a weak bunch of people in a valley. Amen. That he's just putting us through these things to get us humble. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, amen, He spoused Himself, amen, unto us. He betrothed Himself unto us. We are the spouse, not going to be one day. We are.
Amen.
Well, if we confess to be the children of God, you think God would violate His own principles? How in the world can we be children if God's not married? We're a bunch of bastards and there's a bunch of illegitimate children running around here. If we call ourselves the children of God and He hasn't married the church yet, well, then how in the world can He have all these kids yet? Hallelujah. He found a virtuous woman. Peter, whom do you say I am? You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, upon this revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, which is Hades, the grave, will not prevail. Woo! Hallelujah! Because He lives, she lives!
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I walked over to the cemetery the week before Thanksgiving. My brother, 51 years old, died. 2 weeks later, a first cousin of mine got killed in a car wreck. My family walked across a grave cemetery looking for a parcel of ground to buy to bury. I got out there with my brothers and sisters and
my mom and dad. I felt the curse. I said, God, this ain't for me. Not taking care of my family. That ain't what I'm talking about. But hunting me a grave hole ain't for me. I despise that. I hated it. Not that I was trying to shirk my responsibilities. I preached his funeral. They asked me, I'm not looking to run from something. I'm looking to face something. And they asked me, would I do it? Did I think I could do it? And my first response, knowing about some things that went on in his life, I would like to adjust, you know, past it. Just get somebody else to do it. But I knew that wasn't the thing to do. So I'm not looking to pass a buck or to get out of a hard place. While I realized that my brother was 51 years old, and by the choices he had made, if he had made different choices, if he'd have lived a different life, we wouldn't have been up there walking over that cemetery looking for a place to bury him. 2 weeks later, a first cousin of mine is 47 years old. Got killed in just a simple car accident within the city limits of town. Just a blowout. Slow speed. Flipped his truck over and hit a tree. I realized that here's two men and neither one of them. I realized that neither one of them, if they had known the revelation of Jesus Christ, would have never put themselves in positions prior to these sicknesses and accidents, they'd be alive. And that's just with them. And situations are different. I understand that. So I go on record with that. But there is the knowledge of God that Adam had, but that Adam lost. And the trade-off was when he lost the knowledge of God, he lost it when he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And sometimes we're stronger than we... Sometimes we're strong to be arrogant. When the serpent came to the woman, he says to her, "Hath God said?" Her being the strongest element in his life, the serpent, the mark of the beast, the devil, the dragon, whatever you might want to pin on him here, he confronted the strongest element in Adam's life, which was everything that was to help him. Oh, hallelujah. And God had already planned and prepared. God was a great planner. He don't have a plan B. He just planned his plan. And he'd already prepared for the worst. Because if they eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, a death sentence would come in. And the scripture says in the book of Romans in the 5th chapter that by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And the scripture says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived being in the transgression. Now, I've got a lot. I'm just going to have to go through some things. But the scripture says that Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. And that he bare the sins of many. But he's numbered.
Oh, hallelujah.
He numbered himself with the woman.
Yeah.
He didn't number himself with Adam. He numbered himself with the last Adam, because when he went to the cross, the first thing he done, he nailed the old man, he nailed the first man Adam, he nailed the man of sin, he nailed him to the cross. And the redemption was not for the first Adamic man. The redemption was for the transgressors, and the redemption was for the woman, or the redemption was for the church.
Oh, hallelujah. And he planned, hey, you know the dream Pharaoh had? Then Joseph, he interprets the dreams. Seven years, there were 7 ears of corn. Each stalk had 7 ears on it. That was the cattle that was fat and just very productive. And then there were 7 years that the corn was blasted by an east wind. And then the cattle he saw was lean and frail and bony and diseased. And the interpretation of the dream was that there would be 7 years of famine, but they were to plan for the worse. Amen. So they laid hold upon the 7 years of the good.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hey,
I don't know.
If we learn these principles and just learn how to be prepared, we won't be near depressed if we know how to prepare our hearts. See, we've been taught, and
oh, hallelujah.
Hey, look here, I'm a baby boomer. I'm born in 52. I've heard my daddy and mama and talk about his grandma and talk about his mom and dad, which was my grandma and grandpa. I've heard them talk about the days of the Depression. And what I've heard, I say, my Lord, how horrible. And I wasn't even born in World War II. And I was just a baby. I was just a young fella through the Korean War. I don't know what people in this country faced on the day of Pearl Harbor. And I hear me, I've never faced nothing tragic. And because of that, I could have a mentality that nothing ever will happen to us. And that's basically how this country's living. They live to the fullness of every second. Then a survey was made in this country just recently, probably back first of the year anyway, and said the average American family within 3 months of bad times would wipe them out. You know why? They ain't prepared for nothing but for good. They live for the moment. And I can understand that because, you know, you could be late on a car payment or a house payment for 30 days. You might be sitting at the house with the remote control in your hand knowing you ain't got the money to pay it, but the creditor don't know that for 30 days. So you can get by 30 days real easy. Then you get a late charge in the mail, you might get two of them. And you'll get by the second month, but you'll start experiencing some heat and pressure. That's 60 days of stalling. And then through the courts of the judicial system, a renter who owned the house, you know, that maybe somebody was renting, or someone that was a lien holder on a car or a house or property, by the time they filed it with the courts, you'd probably get by another 30 days before the magistrate come out there with the papers to get you out. That would be 3 months. But if the truth be known, within 30 days, they didn't have it. They were already in trouble, and they knew it. But it would take 60 more days just to get them out. So if they done a survey that the average American family would go under in 90 days, I'm declaring unto you in most cases, they would go under in reality, amen, before 30 days would be over. God prepared for the worst. Because if they do eat of it, it wasn't going to stagger the plan of God at all. Because His plan was already, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of, He's already set.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And we'll learn how to plan like God planned. God is a good provider. Having provided some better things, God's a good provider. You hear what I'm saying? God's a good provider. God's a good provider. God planned for the worst so He could bring forth the best. Let me tell you when the best is manifested. The best is manifested when the worst is at its worst. I could run us through a table. He done Abram just like he did Mary. Gabriel came to her and says, "You're highly favored above all women." He done Abram the same way. Abram was nobody. But God highly favored him. God had his plan already working. And he'll get us through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said God's a planner. Jacob had 12 sons. And out of the 12 sons, he used Judah. I'm just running through something real fast. And it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. God had a plan. And his plan worked in the worst.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We wind up with Judah. I run us over to the book of Ruth and pick up on Boaz. He marries Ruth. Here comes Obed. Here comes Jesse. And here comes David. And in Bethlehem of Judea, where Jesus was born, he was born of the house of Joseph. And in the 14th chapter of Genesis, it was Melchizedek that met Abram after the battle and brought forth bread and wine and gave to that man. And Jesus says in the 26th chapter of Matthew, he said when he took the bread, he broke it and blessed it. And he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of my blood of the New Testament." And he gave it to him to drink. God had a plan. And his plan worked. Because he planned for the worst. The scripture says we're to have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickens. Let no man glory in his presence. The first thing the tree of knowledge of good and evil done, hear this, the first thing the tree of knowledge of good and evil done is it took Adam out of the presence of God. Huh? Adam, where are you? And he had hid. He had hid. Can I tell you why there's a lot of people who go to church today who's not really interested in the things of God? It's because their life is wrapped up in knowledge of good and evil. We're in an epidemic of good and evil. Let me tell you this, what's happened. There has been so many things invented in the realm of knowledge of good and evil that it has took man away from meditation. Oh, hallelujah.
Meditation is spending time with God. But humanity today says, that's boring. But God said the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
As the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Let me read this scripture to us. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." There's a woe unto that. There's a message that says that there's a woe, there's a judgment, there's an alarm to that. And there is a deficiency. Let me turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. You know, people, thank God for the people who do know, but I want to say tonight that all of us knows, but I can't speak for everybody. Neither can you speak for me. You can speak in hope for me. But I wonder how many people know how to know the difference between the two knowledges. See, Satan's after the seed. He was after, and because of unbelief and without faith, that permits him to work. And he can only work in the channels of unbelief. And hey, let me say it like this. He attacked the soul, the feminine nature, the woman. She administered it to the man, the spirit.
And the body became a recipient of what the soul and spirit had took in. Can you hear it that way? And if Satan attacked the very thing that was to help him, come on. If he attacked the very thing that was bone of his bone and flesh of her, of his flesh. Oh, hallelujah. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil was administered to this man that God had created. And he fell into death. God had already planned. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read this, Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence to find out knowledge of witty inventions. That's what I said a while ago. There's been so much invented by technology today that people don't know what intercession and meditation is anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Hear it. The enemy's attack is to keep us out of the presence of God.
That's right. Amen.
And through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam hid from the presence of God. And we've done this wonderful singing tonight to bring us into the presence of God, to keep us in the presence of God, ever how you want to say it. But the Scripture says in the book of Acts that when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that word refreshing is translated in the Greek, and it reads like this: when the times of revival shall come from the presence of the Lord. So you don't have to have an evangelist to have a revival. It's the presence of God that is revival. And Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And Satan's device was to get man out of God's presence so that man could not have revival. Oh, hallelujah. Because in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. Amen. Hallelujah. It is the Spirit that quickens. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. But the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And through witty inventions, man has been alienated from the presence of God, from intercession and meditation. Oh, hallelujah. Now, hey, I know there's a lot more people who don't want to hear this kind of message than there is for people who do want to hear it. I've never seen so many addictive things that's time fillers. Oh, hallelujah. When you talk about prayer and intercession, and you're talking about meditation, most of the last 20, 25 years of the church world ain't got a clue what we're talking about. But how many of us in His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there's pleasures forever, evermore. So, He says here, I, wisdom, I'm in verse 12 of chapter 8, hallelujah. And this word wisdom, let me give you a Hebrew word for it. It says, I, skillfulness, dwell with prudence. Let me give you a Hebrew word on prudence. Trickery. I, skillfulness, dwell with trickery. Sound like something pretty smart going on here. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God knows how to set you up. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Jesus said where a man's treasure is, there's where his heart is. You know what that is? That's a setup scripture. Come on, hallelujah. That's a setup scripture. Where a man's treasure is, I, wisdom, I, skillfulness, dwell with trickery, I'll be able to find out where you are. Somebody say discernment of spirits. Come on, I'm not preaching a message here we can't relate to. What do you think discernment of spirits is? It's finding out. Praise the Lord. Amen. How do you think we ought to know? Glory
Glory to God. But you know, most people don't know the difference between the two knowledges.
Oh, my. Hallelujah.
And we're in an epidemic where knowledge of good and evil is more at a rampage today than probably ever before. Oh, yes. I'm telling you. And I tell you something.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let me turn to 2 Corinthians 10. I was teaching this at the church. You know, my goodness, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Let me read this to us. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, thank the Lord, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." How many of y'all believe that? I believe that. If our mentality is carnal, we're defeated. We don't have a weapon. If we're flesh-minded, if we sow to the flesh, then of the flesh, we reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit we reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, I wonder, what am I sowing? Am I sowing the knowledge of good and evil, or am I sowing the knowledge of God? What am I planting? What am I putting in my ground? What am I teaching? What am I teaching the people that I'm responsible for in my local church? Come on, I'm looking from above. What am I putting in that people? What am I putting in me? Our wisdom, dwell with prudence to find out. Most people don't care. But I want to find out what knowledge I'm in, because there's a knowledge that brings me in the presence of God, and there's a knowledge that will never let me in the presence of God. Ooh, Lord, I need to know what kind of knowledge I'm in.
Hallelujah.
If I want to live. If I want to keep myself filed and sharp, meet for the Master's use, I need to know what's going on in me. I need to know what's going on around me.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Now he says, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, it's kind of like, I know now what Job meant. We've gone through about 30-something chapters there about, and he had three friends. And by the time each one of them, for several chapters, gives their opinion, Job finally says, this is what Job says in one of the places that he says it. He says, "Who is this that darkens counsel with words of no knowledge?" How much advice do you hear from people that ain't got a clue of the will of God?
My God, have mercy.
Dark counsel. Well, if I were you, this is what I'd do. And I'm just sitting here taking notes.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, you look around him, find a little gray hair on this spokesman's hag, bald-headed.
Oh, yeah, he's the sign of wisdom.
And lead you like a can of sardines in a coon trap, and the trap fell. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
Some of y'all, I lost some of you. Hallelujah. Oh, just follow. You know what Isaiah said? You know what Hosea said? Two places different. Says, my people are going into captivity for the lack of knowledge. Then he turns around and says in the book of Hosea, my people are destroyed because they have rejected knowledge.
That's right.
Oh, I wonder hell hath enlarged herself. I'm telling you, I know two people, personally, that shouldn't be in the graveyard. But the choices they made led them to that end. I wrote my brother a letter several years ago desiring to help him, and he never answered. He never responded. His mind was set in concrete, and he could have got help, and he could have got deliverance. Praise God. You see, this word shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. I was teaching this at home, and there was a lady in our church that's got five generations. I said, this is what the enemy's out to do. He's after the seed. Because he don't want this word to be in your mouth. Not this word. And he don't want this word to be in your seed's mouth. And he don't want this word to be in your seed. That's three generations. And a lady called me after service almost in tears. And she says, Brother Donnie, she says, I can name five generations, count my mama, that's living. She says, there's five living generations in my family. And there ain't none of them running after the heart of God. Well, that's what the enemy's been after.
Yes.
Is to get the seed diverted. Yes. Well, how better can he do it than to fill people's life with knowledge of good and evil?
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. The explosion of knowledge, but it's not God's.
Amen.
Well, folks come to church now. You know, if you're hungry tonight, you know, you've been feeding on some of this. I hope all of it. But if not, okay. But you know, you can teach this kind of stuff, and you can teach this and teach whatever God has given you, and folks sit in church bored. When you take them home and stick them on a computer, get them a toy that's got batteries and an antenna on it, put them a telephone in their bedroom and a TV in their bedroom, and they're hooked and addicted. Some of them don't even know what the sunshine is.
Right.
Well, when I grew up, we just about lived outside. We'd go in the house at night, go to bed, get a bath occasionally. Now you got a mate, youngins, go in the yard. They go out the yard for 30 minutes, you got to give them five quarts of Gatorade and sunscreen, or they don't even know what the sunshine is. They plumb obsessed with this technology. You bring them to church like this and they're bored. 15 trips to the water fountain and 7 to the bathroom. Mad at the bald-headed fat preacher for preaching so long. All we're doing is just finding out what kind of knowledge we got, where we at. Because there's an epidemic of good and evil, and the religious world thinks it's all God. And the scripture says that lest Satan should get an advantage of us, and that word advantage in the Greek is translated to overreach. Overreach. Let's just say this guy's got, let's say just for the sake of this message, not let's say this couple right here is his son and daughter. Satan just reached right over him. You know, kids won't go to church. Mom and dad's in church. I'm just throwing some things out here. And he, you know, he don't care if he speaks in tongues for 4 hours. Or how religiously or how he prepares or whatever. Go ahead. But he reaches right over. I'll get the next generation. He'll reach right by me and you unless we have the knowledge of God and know what he's doing. Good Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Yeah, boy, there's a generational thing here. I won't get into it. We can't. I'm hunting a place to unplug here anyhow. You don't ever finish this. But you know what? You know what really just aggravates that spirit? Is when he reaches by, this old guy just slides over, takes a punch. So you can't have mine.
Amen.
And now that I've stuck myself in front of you, I know now what I'm dealing with. And I'm fixing to show you what you're dealing with. You're dealing with an inward man. You're dealing with a new man. You're dealing with the Christ. Oh, my goodness. This ain't fancy doing, I know, but this is... But our wisdom dwell with prudence, and I find out. Let me throw this in, since I'm throwing in. I went and sat in the boys' shower stall at school one day. It was about 10 o'clock break. I wanted to know what the boys were talking about. We had a Christian school, supposedly. I went back there about 5 minutes before 10. I just eased out of the school like I was going somewhere. I go out the building, come in the back door, slide into Ben's bathroom, go back there and slide the shower curtain back, put me a chair in there, cut the lights off, and I'm sitting in there, and it's just pitch black dark. I hear the bell ring. When I hear the bell ring, I hear feet coming down the hall. And by the time the light comes on in the bathroom, there's 3 or 4 boys in there. I hear when they go to do what they're going to do. And while they're doing what they're going to do, they're standing there talking. Oh, you would never believe what all they were saying. So I said, oh, I just trust mine. That's all right if you know what's going on. And oh, I can't begin to tell you what all they were talking about. But about the time they finished, I slid that old curtain rod back and stepped out of the shower stall. And our wisdom tricked them. I said, oh, boys, y'all come with me. We're going to call your parents. I'll use Johnny. That's a popular name. What has Johnny done? Oh, you need to come down here and let me tell you. Oh, my Johnny wouldn't do that. My Johnny wouldn't have said that. Look at her and tell her to lie. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I did. I had 3 families left our church because I found out what they wouldn't. And 2 of them families with elders had been with us 15 years and 20 years. I stuck a microphone out there on the picnic table. It's right here. One like this right here. Stuck it under the picnic table out on the recess ground. Oh, they've been writing cuss words out there on the woodwork. I said, who been writing these bad words? Nobody won't say it. I said, okay, high wisdom. I dwell with some prudence, and I'll find out. If you won't tell me, I'll find out. I did. Put brand new batteries in it every morning. That thing would just stay out there all day on. During break and lunch, I'd go to the church sanctuary, stick a tape in, mash the record button, and listen to them from inside the sanctuary with earphones on while they was out there talking their trash. So then I got it all on tape. And I had to play it for mom and dad for them to find out what they couldn't find out.
That's right.
Somebody says, I got lawsuits. Well, that's about what the enemy would hit you with. Yeah. Invasion of privacy. Don't think he'd throw it. Don't think he'd whirl out and at you?
Well,
I wonder if God's people's at the point where they want to know what's going on. Do we want to find out? You know, that's right. Generally, most people, you know, the old saying about the ostrich that sticks their head in the sand. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but if there's anything to it at all, I mean, I get a description here. I had a little boy out there. His mama was a teacher, a fine lady in our church. God, oh my, just she was a tremendous help, asset to my wife. And he stood out there at the picnic table with the other boys and almost just cussed his mama out. He was mad at her. And then she rung the bell and stuck her head out at the door for him to come in. And I watched him from the sanctuary door with my stuff going. And I done heard what he said about her. And when he got to the door where she was, he hugged her and kissed her on the cheek. She just squeezed him and patted him on the back. And I watched that lying rugrat talk like he did about his mama and then walk up and Judas her. And when I let him have the tape to listen to it, they'd been with us 15 years. And they left the church. I look here. I'm not preaching. I realize I wasn't preaching to sinners out yonder on the street. I was bringing this to people that I loved and pastored daily.
Glory.
There's a deception that takes people out of the presence of God.
Right.
And it's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
And I'll close here. Well, if nothing else, this service kind of makes us more smarter. Not saying that we're not smart, but ER. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, that ER, sometimes, you know, they got on these special programs, the emergency room, or to do the surgery. Well, maybe we got into the ER tonight. Hallelujah. All right. I was teaching this just here a while back at home. Well, all of this, but this in particular. Our casting down, I'm in 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself, here it is, against the knowledge of
God.
There it is. We want to find out. And I was sharing with our people. I said, take your finances. Take your finances and lay your money right beside the knowledge of God. Take your courting and dating, take your marriage, and lay it right beside the knowledge of God. Oh, hallelujah. How many know there is a knowledge of God about our finances?
Praise God.
Well, you'd be surprised at the people who ain't got a clue of the will of God and the scriptural teachings, which is, the scriptural teachings is the knowledge of God. You'd be amazed at the people who don't know how, that don't know what the knowledge of God is. Basically, people knows what tithes and offerings is. But with the rest, they have no clue of what God's knowledge is with their money. Both of these boys that got killed, my brother and my cousin, both of them was divorced. And if both of them boys would have still been with their wife, and got their marriages worked out. So here's where we are. We're dealing with the end of a lot of things. Brother Glenn, I'm trying to unplug here. I really am. But see, it now it's dumped on our lap. Come on, listen to me. It's now dumped on our lap, and we're having to deal with a lot of things that would have never came to anything like this if we'd have had the knowledge of God in the beginning. And if we can get a generation taught, help me out here. If we can teach a generation the knowledge of God, they won't go through the heartbreaks and the hell and the death. Oh, hallelujah. That the earth can be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to see it. I believe that. I would despair tonight if I couldn't believe that. But I do know. I do know. My brother married a Mormon, and she was as lazy as the day was long. But Mom and Dad didn't train him right. And when he found this Mormon girl, because he dated her, and nobody had a clue of finding a life partner, he has four kids by her, and she wouldn't get off the couch, and he raised four youngins until he got tired of it and divorces her. He got two boys and two girls now to raise. So then he marries again and marries a sickly woman that nobody knew nothing about her. And when she came and visited us, she had a suitcase of medicine. And my brother, through that marriage, came in contact with a killing disease and died at 51 years old. And see, what's happening is we're dealing with the end of a lot of things. And the end of a lot of things that we're forced to deal with now ain't pleasant. Oh, good God, have mercy. I'm fishing to a series at home now. It's going to take some weeks to do it, and I'm teaching our parents and the young people the difference between dating and a life partner in courtship. Because dating covers up, courtship will expose. And if my cousin, again, divorced, coming home from a hockey game, there's a lot of ifs here, but I'm getting something. But if he'd have been married to his wife, had two daughters, if he'd have stayed married to his wife, been home with her, if he'd have been a family man instead of a single man, at 47 years old, he'd still be alive tonight. See, what people don't understand is the choices we make 10, 15, 20 years ago. Are y'all, anybody listening, anything I got to say? Huh? But now we're dealing with the end of this mess. Somebody says, well, how did it get to this point? Oh, it got to that point way back yonder. See, if the last step was sin, the first step was sin. Somebody missed the mark to start with. So, with the wisdom and the integrity of God in our life, we can find out the knowledge of motivation in this hour. And if nothing else, weep and lament between the porch and the altar of our misses. But for God's help us, Lord, that we raise up a generation and instill within them the integrity and the knowledge of God, so that this nation can be ruled with the rod of iron. And that's not dictatorship.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. So if we can lay everything that we are beside the knowledge of God, he says here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if I can do that, if I'll bring everything that I am and all that I've got to the obedience of Christ, I will lay it beside the knowledge of God. That's where our victory is, because Jesus has given it to us. That Jesus give us the victory. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm convinced that Jesus works. Amen. I'm convinced that Jesus works. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. And what was the work that the devil used? What was the tool that he used in the garden? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. I want to serve Jesus tonight, and I want to serve Him with integrity, and I want to walk in the knowledge of God. And I want to become one cup. You can be a cup, you can be a glass, you can be a jar, you can be a glass, and one cup at a time we fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord until we fill the earth as the waters
Cover the sea. Praise God. Hallelujah. One person at a time, filling ourselves and pouring ourselves out into this generation. Glory to God. Until we cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's the answer. Jesus has always been the answer. Amen. He's never hit a foul ball. He's always been the answer, and He always will be. God bless you. I hope I hadn't wore you out. I apologize for being so long for that part, but I hope and trust that I've obeyed the Lord and said something tonight that would be good for hearing. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Prayer meeting in the morning.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Could we just stand together?
Amen. Here.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. Oh, God, we bless you, Lord. Lord God, touch our hearts and our minds, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let all knees bow and that all tongues confess. And Lord, let me be the first, O Lord, to declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. O God, seal this service, O Lord, and bless this meeting, O God. And, Lord, prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord that will come, Lord, from your servants tomorrow and the next day. Oh, God, we hold them before you tonight, O Lord, for your glory to shine upon their way, O Lord, that we all walk in the steps of the Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.